Today on The Journey.
There seems to be a lot of confusion about parenting. We have a prototype for parenting called the M&M Parenting Game Plan, and the M&M stand for Modeling and Mentoring.
Show and tell isn't just for first graders. In fact, it's a biblical imperative that will serve you and your children for time and eternity. Today, Ron Moore welcomes a special guest to outline that ancient command from Scripture. It's a practical guide to everyday parenting that will help you raise a godly family. Before that, I want you to know about Living Grounded. It's a fully illustrated, interactive study of the foundational truths of the Christian faith. Living Grounded is available at ronmoore.org for a gift of any amount. Your gift will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for part one of their discussion, Show and Tell Parenting, On the Journey.
Several years ago, I had the assignment of taking our daughter, Laura, to school. And she was, I think, in the second or third grade at the time. And at our school, you had to walk your child to class. I dropped her off and headed down the hall. And to exit the building, I had to go past some kindergarten rooms. And on my way, I saw a mother stooping down to embrace her child before she let him go into the room. And when she stood up, she stopped me. I didn't know her, but she looked at me and said, "I love kindergartners. They still give hugs and kisses." That was years ago. And the daughter I dropped off that day has now graduated from college and started her career. Our last of four children, also a daughter, graduating from high school this year. And I got to tell you, time goes fast. Parenting is like this window of opportunity. It's wide open at the beginning for us to invest in the lives of our children. And then over the years, as our children grow and mature, the window begins to close just a little bit. And while it never fully shuts, you're always the parent, our children grow up and they leave and they start families of their own. And then the parenting cycle continues. Think about it. As a parent, generations are touched by the way we parent our children. And that's why parenting is one of God's greatest gifts and one of His greatest responsibilities that He gives us. Over the next few days on the journey, we want to focus on this great gift of parenting. And we want to consider what the Bible has to say about being a mom and being a dad. And we're going to provide some practical skills to build needed character traits into the lives of our children. And to help us do that, I have invited Dr. Bob Fredo to join us. Dr. Fredo has been an educator for over three decades. During that time, he has taught, he's coached, he's been a principal at the elementary, the middle school, and high school level. The schools that Dr. Fredo led have won national awards, and Dr. Fredo has spoken at conferences around the country on the subject of developing character. So, Dr. Fredo, thank you for joining us on this parenting series.
Thanks, Ron. It's great to be here with you today.
So, Bob, during this series, we're going to be talking about building character into our children. Now, certainly, we're going to talk about what it means for our children to trust in Christ, and that's the starting point, right? We want our children to trust in Christ, and we want to make sure that we are building the proper biblical character traits into our children. And we believe there are five essential character traits that we need as parents to be intentionally building into the lives of our children. So just give us a quick overview of those traits.
Okay, we chose the five because we felt like respect, responsibility, honesty, compassion, and integrity really in a comprehensive way represented what we would hope would help us to define a person of good character. Of course, there are many other great character attributes that can be applied and used to describe a person of good character, but those five do a great job, and we think they cover a lot of ground. We can go into a lot of detail about many examples and illustrations. For purposes of today, we'll just give a bit of a framework just to get us started. When we talk about teaching children respect and helping them to develop as respectful human beings, we really want to go beyond helping them to be obedient and compliant, although we want that.
Right.
And certainly when they're young, they need to do that for their own safety and so they can function well in school and in society. But what we really want to do is develop their character through their hearts and help them to reflect an attitude or a posture of respect. So if we take the approach where we teach them an attitude of respect, then it'll flow from the heart, and it's more likely going to be visible in the way they go about living their lives.
Character produces conduct.
Yes.
So we've got respect. Talk about responsibility.
Responsibility, we love that in the school world. We want everybody to get their homework done, be on time, and do all that. And it works that way in life, too, doesn't it? We're expected to be on time.
Or should.
It should. Yeah, we're still working on that in some ways, for sure. But we want our children to develop responsibility so they could be those who are accountable for those things that are under their control. And we have to be careful with that as parents sometimes because we don't want to over-expect of our children at times where they're not developmentally ready for that particular
right.
type of performance. So we want to be careful not to frustrate them. So it's important that we're mindful of that and are helping them to develop responsibility at appropriate times in appropriate ways.
Okay. So we got respect, we have responsibility, honesty is another one we're going to cover.
Honesty sort of holds it all together, comes right from the heart. And while it sounds pretty simple, we want to have our children be those who tell the truth. It's really more than that. It's such a critical aspect of character development. So when we look at this character trait, we want to share with parents ways that they can promote honesty. And that really begins with helping children to understand the truth in God's word and what that means. It's in direct opposition to God. But also there are various ways to lie. Sometimes it's not just telling a lie, it's not saying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other aspects to that that are appropriate to teach children in various situations. And so we can talk about some of those in more detail as we go on. But for example, being silent when you know the truth and you have something to contribute that would clarify a situation,
right.
or telling the whole truth. And certainly the aspect of hypocrisy would be another area mm-hmm. that we'll spend some time on developing later.
So these characteristics, respect, responsibility, honesty, a brief overview of compassion.
And compassion is one, again, starts in the heart. It goes beyond caring. It's like caring a lot. We want to be people who are compassionate. We want to have our children develop that character trait of compassion. And it starts with just caring about people, but it really goes beyond that. It goes to putting caring into action. And that through a good relationship with a parent who spends time with their child will give the child opportunities to experience things and develop an affection for those people and then an understanding on how they can care for and act on that caring.
Okay, so these character traits are respect, responsibility, honesty, compassion, and then one more, and this one does tie it all together. This word integrity is kind of a full concept.
It is. So it means wholeness. So beyond all the character traits, we want to focus on living a life of integrity. And we do that by having an understanding of what all those character traits mean, living true to them, and tying it all together in terms of what we know to be good and right and true, those things that we care about and love, in terms of valuing those character traits, and then how that flows from our heart is through our actions. And that's how we live out our character in our lives and live out what we believe and know and trust that's good and right.
Now, what we want to do is to keep this series practical. Bob, you and I have talked a lot about there seems to be a lot of confusion about parenting. And so there are these things you need to do, and here's another book you need to read, and here's another form you need to follow. So what we want to do is to keep this very simple. And we have a prototype for parenting right from Scripture. We call it the M&M Parenting Game Plan. And the M&M stand for Modeling and Mentoring. Again, very straightforward, very simple, Modeling and Mentoring. And we believe the beauty of this is for the nuclear family. This is for the blended family. This is for the step family. It doesn't matter what situation a family you are in. This modeling and mentoring is the umbrella that we believe allows parents to do what parents are called to do. And we've talked about this. I know you're an educator. Modeling and mentoring is basically show and tell, isn't it?
Right. I love that. This approach works, not because we say so, but because it's really found in God's Word. It works for life. So really, as parents, when we model and mentor well, we become like great life coaches. Children can see it in action, and they can know it to be true because they have examples right in front of them.
So we want to teach these character traits of respect, responsibility, honesty, compassion, and integrity. And we have to do that in the parenting framework of modeling and mentoring. And that's what we want to talk about today, modeling and mentoring. That's the parenting game plan. Dr. Fredo, let's start with modeling. Let's look at a couple verses that talk about modeling, and then let's discuss how those apply to parenting.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul wrote, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ."
Think about that as a parent. That's a heavy one. You look at your children and you say, "I want you to follow my example, but not just follow my example. I want you to follow my example because I am, by the power of the Holy Spirit, doing everything I can to follow the example of Christ." So it's not just you following me. I'm following the leader, and you're going to learn from that. That verse always stops me in my tracks.
Stops you in your tracks. It's simple but not easy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. There's another one.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do."
Just as you have us as a model. Man, what a great verse for parenting, because our children, they do have us as a model. They are watching what we do. So as a parent, I have to model Christian character. Am I going to do that perfectly? Absolutely not. But I need to show my kids what it looks like. In the laboratory of the home, I need to show my children what respect looks like. And that means that I'm demonstrating respect to my husband. I'm demonstrating respect to my wife. I'm demonstrating respect to them. If they're going to see it, I got to do it. In the laboratory of the car, I got to show them what respect looks like when a driver cuts me off. I probably failed on that one a few times. I got to show them what responsibility looks like at work. I was talking to a guy last night. We had a meeting, and he was late for the meeting, and he said, "It took me 55 minutes to drive from my work here to the meeting." And I said, "Well, if there was no traffic, how long would it take you?" He said, "Well, at 2 in the morning,
right,
it takes 19 minutes.
Wow.
And I said, "2 in the morning?" And he said, "Yeah, I've had to go into work before at 2 in the morning, and it's taken 19 minutes. Sometimes the aspect of responsibility is you have to go to work at 2 in the morning.
That's right? Pretty responsible.
Yeah. I talked to a guy leaving the same meeting last night. We had some rain during the meeting, and he had a text saying that his business had some possible flooding. So I said, "It was late at night. Are you headed over to your business?" He said, "Yeah, I got to go do that." So we got to teach responsibility at work, that it's just not a 8-to-5-er, but there are things that you do because we're responsible people. You do responsible things. I have to show the importance of being on time. I had an elder once tell me, "If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. Right. And if you're late, it's unacceptable."
So, right.
He only had to tell me that one time.
It's pretty clear.
And I have to demonstrate what it means to be honest, always. Little eyes are watching. Little ears are listening. And the older they get, the more intently they're watching and the more intently they're listening. So really, Dr. Fredo, as a model of what the Christian life looks like, I have to be growing as a Christian. And here we've talked about several things we need to be doing to grow as a Christian. Talk about those things for us. We call them the five essentials.
Right. The five essentials works as a great framework because it keeps us in the Word, reminds us that we need to be worshiping, we need to connect with others, and we need to serve, and we need to share with others. Mm-hmm. In doing that from a parental perspective, can't help but think about the aspect of modeling and mentoring. So the two fit together like a hand in glove because we want to be growing ourselves so that we can then pour into our children, our most valuable resource, our greatest responsibility. So it really sounds like a great idea for us, doesn't it, as parents, to develop ourselves so that what we can convey to them has lasting value. And we do that by staying in the Word, by worshiping together in community, by serving together, by connecting with others, and by sharing the good news of the gospel.
Howard Hendricks, an old seminary professor, said, "You cannot impart what you do not possess." So I can't impart to my kids what I don't have. Lori's mom, my wife's mom, passed away just a couple months ago, and she had a couple Bibles that she used. And it was so amazing to look through her Bible. She went through some challenging times in her life. And in these Bibles, she had made notes talking about some of the challenging times, talking about what that verse meant to her, talking about what she learned at a Bible study or a teaching on the radio or a book she had read. Those are precious possessions for my wife and her siblings because they get to see her mother, even now her mother's gone, she's still modeling right for them. Hey, you got to be in the Word. And not just reading it in a cursory way, but interacting with it and trying to figure out what it means and understanding it and then obviously applying it. So modeling is critical. It's the show part. We have to show our kids what this thing looks like. But it doesn't stop there. We have to teach our kids. Modeling and mentoring. Show and tell. That same teacher, Dr. Hendricks, he used to always say, to teach means to cause to learn. And I love that. As a teacher, I can't have a pupil just say, well, I didn't learn anything today. It's my job to cause them to learn. Now, you were an educator for many, many years, and you interacted with teachers and you led teachers. You mentored teachers. You evaluated teachers. What's a good teacher look like? What are the characteristics of a good teacher?
There are many. The most important thing is it goes beyond skills. A good teacher is measured by his or her effectiveness. Again, so what does it matter that I spent this time with you, that I taught you this lesson, if I didn't impart something to you that has value and cause you to learn? So a good teacher is an effective teacher, one who makes a difference. Qualities that go into that, you can't overemphasize the relational aspect. A good teacher has to be one who spends considerable time to make sure they're being effective, whatever it is they're teaching. So that involves sometimes planning. Sometimes it involves evaluation in addition to and sandwiched between that is the teaching, the actual teaching. And it's not always the most important part. Sometimes the most important part is the planning or the assessing, the effectiveness, and then going back again. We joke many times about this, Ron, in classes about how we teach our children things and we don't see them get it. And then 5 years later, they come back to us and tell us how amazing it is that they learned this one thing from this other person down the road, the same thing that we were trying to teach them for years. Humility, right? But a good teacher also has to know their content. Mm-hmm. And so in parenting, we're talking about teaching life. So wisdom, and we get that wisdom from knowing the Word of God and then imparting that. So we have to be those who know the right things to teach things that have lasting value. So knowing their content, I'm making a little transfer here from the classroom content. It's a little more important than algebra, teaching life. A parent has to be one who's schooled about the wisdom of life in order to impart that. It's also important for a parent or a teacher to really know the student or know the child, as it were, because each individual child is different, whether it's a different learning style or a different motivational approach. They're unique, and what works with one doesn't always work with the other. So you have to be a student of the child to help to have the greatest impact and to be effective.
You know, as you say that, I was thinking when Laura and I, when our kids were younger and we'd go to the parent-teacher conferences and we'd sit across the desk from a teacher, I almost get emotional when the teacher would talk about our child and they knew our child.
Right.
They knew how best he or she learned. They would talk about sometimes they talked too much or they were too quiet and they tried to pull some things out of them. It was amazing to me. They know our child. And so as a parent, we need to know our child. So parenting is not one size fits all. That teacher didn't say, I just teach one way. If your child gets it, fine. If not, fine, right? We have to make sure that we know our children. So that's a great point. So knowing content, knowing the student, what else?
Being encouraging. And that's more like strategic parenting. Certainly, I don't mean just encouraging in terms of saying you can do it, but being encouraging in terms of knowing what to teach at the right time and in the right way so that you can foster success. You don't want to teach a child to learn how to fish before they can hold a fishing pole, or learn how to do algebra before they can count. So I use those as hyperbole, but it's really true. We want to make sure that they're ready to take on the next challenge. So we want them to be successful so that they feel that growth, and then it becomes more of a trusting relationship. So just my presence with you as a parent or a teacher is encouraging, because when you're with me and you're by my side and you're showing me how to do things, I find success and I find fulfillment in that, and that's motivating to me.
And, you know, we're going to talk about this later on, but just as a little teaser right here, the balance between being an encourager and a discourager is sometimes a fine line. We think we're pushing our children and encouraging them, and we may be putting some pressure on them that they don't have that skill that we're pushing them to do. They're just not ready.
How's the saying go? When the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great saying.
Know the content. A good teacher knows the content. They know the student. They are an encourager. What else?
Just has that right touch. A good teacher allows them to struggle, allows them to face challenges. But at the same time, while they're pushing them along, they have their hand underneath them holding them up. So again, once that trust is established, the child is going to be willing to go on and take those risks in appropriate ways, just try something new, work a little harder when they know that you're there supporting them, allowing them to experience some frustration, some tension, and some disappointment, because that's how they grow.
Okay, so we got a good teacher knows content, knows a student. They're an encourager appropriately. They allow the student to experience needed challenges and even setbacks. And one more.
Good teacher, good parent has to model what they mentor. So it has to fit together. It has to reflect integrity, or you can do a lot of damage that way. Just a failure of integrity, or just when they see that duplicity between what we're teaching and what we're actually modeling ourselves, that's a setback. What you do speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear what you say.
Yeah, that's so true. Actions speak louder than words.
And Ron and Bob will pick up there in our next broadcast. Please stay with us for a preview of that discussion. Are you living a life of spiritual transformation? Or do you feel stalled in a dry and lukewarm faith? Well, you can take steps now to energize your walk with Jesus and leave religious pretense behind. That happens when God's Word takes up residence in the deepest recesses of your soul. Start that journey today with Ron Moore's 12-chapter interactive study titled Living Grounded. Within the 242 pages of this handsome, full-color book, you'll discover the foundational truths of Christianity. Among the many important topics explained in Living Grounded are how to know God's will, how to study the Bible, and how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Living Grounded is available for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Bob for a preview of our next broadcast.
A study by the National Study of Youth and Religion found the guiding morality of 60% of millennials in any situation is they'll just be able to feel what is right.
Yeah. So 60% believe their guiding morality is just, if it feels right, you do it. Parents, that's why it is so critical that we have our kids grounded in the truth, that they know what they believe and they know why they believe it. And again, this cannot be the youth pastor's responsibility. He can confirm it. He can augment it. He can certainly teach it, but this comes at home. And it's the modeling and mentoring. We got to teach them what is right and show them how this looks in real life.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a copy of Ron's interactive study, Living Grounded, is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Whether you're a new Christian or a believer who wants to make your spiritual foundation sure, you'll grow in Christ with Living Grounded. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Bob next time as we walk together on the journey.